So 2016, I cannot even begin to imagine what God has for us and the things that He has for us to do, and doing it in ways we never dreamed of doing it. Janice brought up the fact of the changes in the style of the churches are changing, the structure of the churches are changing, the physical buildings, and then the things have gone on. But the basic pattern, the basic principle is there of preaching the gospel, of preaching the blood atonement of Christ, the virgin birth of Christ, preaching that Jesus is coming back, and the urgency of people being saved, not just in a local area, but all over the world. And so as we think about that, and I think about what God has for us, what do we look for? What is involved in this? And what are some basic principles? So in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 at verse 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 26. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. Now, we come back to a basic principle. In all that's to be done, whether through technology, whether through a storefront in a small community or in a large city or wherever it might be, God must get the glory. Everything that is to be done is to be done in a way that God will receive the glory, and that His power will be demonstrated. You might keep your finger there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and turn to Acts, if you would. Acts chapter 1. You know the passage that is there, but I want you to look at that. Acts chapter 1. And with the challenge that was given to the early church, Acts chapter 1, in chapter 1 of the book of Acts, and verse 8. Jesus had given this principle to the early church, and still today with us on them. In Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that you're educated, after that you're thoroughly trained, you will receive power. No, that's not what it says. Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both, in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria unto the uttermost part of the earth. God says, I'm going to give you power beyond your ability to do things you never dreamed you could do all at the same time. Now, they didn't have television. They didn't have radios. They didn't have automobiles. To go 20 miles was quite a task. To contact a lot of people was a very difficult thing to do. And yet God is telling them, I'm going to give you the power of the Holy Spirit that you will be able to witness in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost part of the world at the same time. He's still doing it today. Though we might try to see and get things organized and see the plan of God, turn back to 1 Corinthians 1. We've got to realize whatever we might do and whatever we might be involved in must have the power of God. Not by our ability. The thing that the key to this is, one is the power of God must work. Two, we must present ourselves available to do God's will in His power. Not in our power. So now in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 26 again, he says, now those that God calls to reach the world are not what we would consider the best of people, the most qualified. In verse 27, but God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught the things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. Now let's just pause there for a moment. God's going to choose things that we don't think would be the right thing to do. Of course, I agreed with that at the very beginning when he began to lay his hand on me. I said, boy, of all people that you picked, this is the wrong one and that. And of all that could be involved with that. But that's what God chooses, and that's what God chooses. He chooses you. You might think, well, I'm over the hill. I can't do it. We'll talk about that in just a moment. God picks the things that he would receive the glory, things that could not get the job done except through his power. The things that might come, and we do need some changes, and we will see some changes, but it must be to demonstrate the power of God, not our ability, and not by our power in them. Even though through the internet, I'm still amazed by what God is doing that. Of all reasoning, the internet would be the worst choice to make. I was talking today at our Sunday school meeting and visiting one at the table with us on that, and about the new technology, where the papers are not being published anymore. You've got, now it's all electronic and of these things that are there. And then of all things that is taking the place of what used to be our source of information, the internet is the most wicked, unreliable source that you could pick. On the internet, you've got information that is proclaimed to be the very truth when all it's a big lie to begin with. You've got people who are writing and putting information on the internet with the whole idea of lying to people and deceiving people. How do you check anything on the internet to make sure that it's really honest and not some fable, not some lie or some folklore that's being put out or just some gossip that's on there? If you try to get facts out of the Facebook, you're looking in the wrong place on that. This tool that promotes all kinds of evil and has all kinds of faults with it, of lies and all that's put on there, there's no way of checking things unless you know the source personally. And then when you try to check it out to make sure it's really true, you have a difficulty finding the real source that is there to make sure it is true. Every now and then I get emails. I don't get them anymore because I always send them back to the people who send me an email about something that's going on. And man, this is really horrible and really something that is terrible on that. And it's just a hoax. Well, there we had some programs on the internet that searched those things out and would tell you it was a hoax. And I would always, when I'd find that, I would find the source saying this was a hoax and that it wasn't really true and send it back to the person that sent it to me. I got to where they quit sending it to me on that because I was always proving them that what they were sending wasn't true in that line. And yet, this thing that is so horrible and terrible, God is using to reach the world. Isn't that amazing? That's exactly what he said here. He would take that which is despised. I remember and the radios, the early church, when the radio programs came out, this was of the devil. You're not to listen to the radio. And then begin to realize that God would take that which was despised and begin to use the radio for preaching and begin to go into homes that you couldn't go into. And then television. Oh, man, that television's of the devil. Still is, as far as most concerns of what's coming across the television. And yet through the television, God has reached into homes and nursing homes and places around the world that you couldn't get there otherwise with the gospel. And even now with that, we've got so many false teachers on television, on the radio, and on the internet. But yet in spite of that, God will take it and use it in his power to reach the world. Things that are despised and rejected so that no flesh would be glorified his presence. Now notice verse 30. But of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that glorieth, let him glory in the Lord. Now, all that's been said and brought to your attention to realize, regardless of who you are or who you think you are, of what you might think you can do or you cannot do. Man, I went through that little stage there, and I repented and asked God to forgive me. And I wanted to use the excuse, man, I'm worn out. I can't do anymore. And I'm doing good just to put one foot in front of the other. And man, when I'm up, I'm feeling good. When I sit down, I'm feeling good. But getting up and getting down is the problem on that, of working out. But that's no excuse. I'm not to operate by my power or my ability. I'm to operate by the power of God, and so are you. So as we look at the challenge that's before us and realize that God's going to do things that we cannot even begin to imagine. He wants to reach this world. It's not His will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He wants Jesus to be magnified, to be lifted up, that all men might be drawn unto Him. There are homes that needs to be put back together. There are lives that are just being torn apart that needs to be put back together, and only can be done by the power of God. There are hang-ups and all kinds of problems that we have in our society today. I mean, as you look at our society in America as well as around the world, it's sick. Amen? I mean, I can't even imagine things going on that are going on now in America as well as around the world. What's the solution? It's Jesus. It's the Word of God. And God wants that solution to be applied to this sin-sick world. And how will He do it? He's going to do it in ways we wouldn't think would be the right way to do it. In ways that are strange and different. Well, that's for the next generation. We're going to have all kinds of excuses. What excuse will you use? Look at Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. Luke chapter 9. And in verse 59. Jesus is looking around and talking and teaching. And He said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Now the fellow, he was willing to follow Jesus, but he said, not just right now. I've got to go bury my father. That sounds like a pretty legitimate excuse, don't you think so? And then Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home at my house. In other words, I need to put in a 2 weeks notice before I leave home. Let me bid them, but I'll go with you. And Jesus said to him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Then in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31, we can find all kinds of excuses that we might have of I've got other things to do, important things to do. I've got to make a living for my family. I've got kids that I've got to send to college. I've got young children that I've got to raise. I've got some grown kids that are in trouble, and I've got to help them. And we can have all kinds of excuses that seem great and legitimate. And then in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 31, Jesus said, therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We cannot use the excuse, I have other things to do. You know the account of Moses. He said, I can't talk. I stutter. You're picking the wrong one to lead the people out. And besides that, they're not going to believe me when I go. And God answered the things of Moses and saying that, who made you? He said, I'm the creator. I created you. And God's saying that to you now. regardless of your circumstances, regardless of your condition. God said, I'm the one that created you, and I'm the one that can sustain you. I'm the one that can do the work through you. Notice in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, you're familiar with that passage. Philippians 4 and verse 13, some of you are already ready to quote it. You know where it's located. When you get there, you will if you've forgotten it. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things. There is no period there. There's no period there. When you look at that again, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. There's the period. I cannot do all things, but I can do all things through Christ. I cannot do all things of myself, physically, mentally, financially, or whatever else you might want to have there, time-wise. But through Christ, I can do all things. I have no excuse. You do not have an excuse. Every excuse that we would want to use, Gideon, my goodness. And this church is faced with Gideon's excuse right now. Oh, we've seen this auditorium full. We've seen the balcony packed in here. And how God has blessed this church tremendously with many souls to lead out and to serve and to reach this community and to bring people in. Gideon, he had 32,000 people to fight against the Midianites. 32,000 men. God said, that's too many. Whittled it down to 10,000. God said, that's still too many. He got it down to 300 people. Now think about it. From 32,000 to 300. Man, Gideon said, this is impossible. When we went to build the new plant in Wynnewood, first when God began to reveal to us we need to have a new facility. Man, we were doing good. We had a good group coming, had a good number coming. And then God began to perform Gideon's miracle on us. We dropped down to almost nothing. How in the world can we build a whole new plant with our attendance cut not in half, but almost to a third? How can we afford it? When we got to that place and realized we cannot do it and we cannot afford it, then God built it and afforded it and provided the finances for it. Though we might be coming down in number, now we're in a position where God can work through this church and perform the miracle that he wants to perform in reaching not only Ada, but Oklahoma and reaching the world. We have no excuse for not serving or doing what God wants us to do. We can think about the disciples in John chapter 6 and verse 5 through 9 when Jesus wanted to feed the 5,000 men. What was the excuse of the disciples? Now, these are not the lost people. These are the ones following Jesus. They saw him walk on the water. They saw him cause the blind to see and the lame to walk. They said, we don't have enough money to do this. We can't afford to feed them. Besides, we don't have enough help. 5,000 men plus women and children, and there's just 12 of us. Yet those 12 men, with a few loaves and a few fishes, fed everyone until they were full and took up fragments left over, more than what they even started with. 12 baskets, 7 baskets on the other occasion. God has a task for us. What excuse are you going to use in this year? Or will you do like Mary? When Gabriel announced to her, you're going to have a child without knowing a man. That's impossible. And he said to Mary, with God, nothing's impossible. And she said, here's your handmaid. Do what you want to do. We look at what God has for us and we say it's impossible. We don't need to give an excuse. We need to come back to that place where we will, by faith, believe God. And let God perform his work through us. And what he wants to hear from us is not that, well, Lord, I've got this to do. Or, Lord, I'm too old. I'm too sick. I can't do this. And all the excuses we want to give, God doesn't want to hear that. He wants to hear, thy will be done in my life. Here I am. However you can use me, use me. I'm at your service. For 2016, if you want to get on the exciting roller coaster of God, you got to say, here am I, Lord. I'm going to trust you. And enjoy the ride and the thrill that is there. The same thing is true about salvation. Many places in the Bible you have those who said, no, this is not the right time. A more convenient time I will. Almost you persuaded me. And on you go. But God tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. Look at it in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2. Never forget this. With anyone and everyone, whether it be salvation or whether it be the task that God has for you to do or has for the church to do or whatever else. In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Now is the time for you to be saved. You can't save yourself. Only God can do it. So don't wait for some other convenient season or something else to happen or some program to go on. Now is the time. Now is the time to tell others about Christ. Now is the time for us to surrender. I'm looking forward to this year of 2016 because I know God's going to do a tremendous, marvelous work. He has it designed in His plan that He would receive the glory and honor. And I'm just going to surrender. Let Him use me in whatever way and however He wants to use me. Though I think it might kill me, I'm not going to worry about that. I'm going to let God's power work. How about you? Will you give an excuse? Or will you say, here I am. Here I am, Lord. I'm ready for service, ready to be used. This is a new year. And God's going to do a tremendous work. Will you let Him use you in doing that work? Maybe He wants to use you tonight to intercede in prayer for a lost soul. This altar is open. Right now we've got part of it blocked on each side. These pews at the front of where you come down and kneel before God and intercede for a lost soul. Maybe He wants to use you tonight. In a surrendered life. Quit making excuses. Say, Lord, here I am. I don't know how you're going to use me. But whatever it is and whatever way, I want to step out in faith and be used by you. It could be maybe you need to come and ask God to forgive you. To save you by the blood of Jesus. Let God save you and quit trying to save yourself. God has spoken to your heart. Will you make that decision and let God work through you? What a wonderful blessing we have. May we stand with every head bowed and every eye closed.